Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. I Googled it. These three words have transformed the way customers buy across every industry and sector. The ability created by internet search engines to compare price and product, coupled with our insatiable desire for instant information, have created a volatile new breed of buyer. The search and switch customer. In these bruising economic times, businesses unprepared to address this buyer are losing market share by the minute. In the book, Taming the Search and Switch Customer, Earning Customer Loyalty and a Compulsion to Compare World, loyalty guru Jill Griffin, advisor to Microsoft, Dell, Toyota, Marriott, HP, Days Inn, Western Union, and Sprint, provides a fresh, new arsenal of loyalty solutions uniquely calibrated for today's compulsion to compare planet of buyers. Jill Griffin is known to her clients as the Loyalty Maker, and since 1988, she's led the Austin-based Griffin Group, helping firms worldwide build fiercely loyal customers. Her previous book, Customer Loyalty, was named to Harvard Business School's Working Knowledge List and has been translated into six languages. She's also the co-author of Customer Winback, which earned SoundView's 30 Best Business Books Award. Jill, welcome to Edgewise.
Thank you so much for having me.
To begin with, I have to admit it's a habit I do all the time now. I guess Google has really altered the way we think, but I literally do not make any purchase of note, anything ranging from $200 or more, without consulting Google or performing some type of search. How has Google and the internet become the powerful new threat to customer loyalty, a company's sales, and their profits?
They become the threat by virtue of making switching so easy. You have the ability as a shopper to look at hundreds, if not thousands, of options. And then if you see what you like, literally in a click of the mouse, you can switch over. That ability to look at the marketplace and all the offerings in such an easy way makes Google a real loyalty threat.
Who is this new breed of buyer, the search and switch customer? Of course, it's me. I just admitted to it. But can you talk a little bit about the characteristics of this person?
Sure. It's someone who's looking for a deal. They're savvy. They've been out there buying for many years. They have a real independent streak in regard to justifies value. And they're not shy at all about moving to a better deal at any time.
Right.
Now, let me mention one thing that surprised me when I was doing this research.
Okay.
We hear a lot, and I certainly have preached the gospel of customer service for years. That is still extremely applicable to winning the race for the search and switch customer. But what I found in my research was not all buyers are interested in a great service experience.
Mm-hmm.
A number of buyers, particularly Generation Y buyers, are not specifically interested in a great wow service experience. What they're really interested in is having the newest, the thing that is going to impress their friends. They're really on the cutting edge of what's next. And the Google search capability lends itself incredibly well to serving that Generation Y buyer.
Right. In your experience, do you think that this is merely a phase that Generation Y will outgrow and become more concerned with such things as service and service plans? Or do you think that's just something they will carry with them throughout their professional and personal lives?
I think they're going to carry it with them throughout their lives. This is a generation that has cut its teeth on all kinds of internet and social media type capability, blogs, wikis, social networking, message boards, RSS alerts, all of that sort of thing. They'll always have a desire for leading edge. Now, having said that, I think the service experience can be the next get below what's new. And when you're looking for how do you stand out, doing both of those things can give you an edge.
Do you find there's any correlation to a person being concerned with things like service and just the sheer price of a specific product?
Sure.
Envisioning a luxury automobile or a sports car or something like that. And I can't imagine a person just, wow, that's a cool looking car. I'm just going to go buy it.
Absolutely. our buyers are never looking at us in a vacuum. They are always comparing us against their next best buying alternative.
Right.
They're looking at the price difference, the example you used, one car versus the next, and they're wanting to see, hey, is this difference in price really playing out for me in regard to the value that the brand I'm really thinking about buying offers? That sort of litmus test is out there, and it's something that brands have to pay attention to. But at the same time, for the Generation Y buyer, this ability to provide the edge, the newness, hey, this is the latest, greatest, or whatever, is an important factor in being able to win that particular buyer's worth it test.
So what should organizations do?
In the book, what I worked hard to do was bring the reader questions that would enable a brand, if they got yeses to these questions from their customers, to ace their buyer's worth it test. That's the secret of how you really hold on to customers and bring in new ones.
Can you just briefly review what those questions are?
The first one is, versus your next best buying alternative, the brand provides real substantive differences that you consider important.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, you've got to have customers and prospects that uniformly say, yeah, there's a difference here, and it's something that's important to me. Another one, and this is a big one, the brand provides you tangible, convincing proof of these differences. You know, it's one thing to say this is, as a brand, what we stand for, but it's another thing to prove it and be able to prove it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from testimonials for customers, there's truly something you can hang your hat on that differentiates
right.
your brand from your buyer's next best buying alternative. Here's one, very related to that second one I just gave you. You, the customer, can easily articulate the brand's differences. In other words, if you're on a social media site, in one sentence, certainly no more than two, you can really say as a customer what makes this brand different. Another one, you are served by employees who exemplify the brand's differences through word and deed. We've heard a lot about this since the late 80s, but the research continues to just wow me on how few frontliners representing a brand can really articulate to the buyer what makes the brand different.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
The major point here, folks in the C-suite or whatever, they've got to ask themselves these questions, but more importantly, they've got to make sure that their buyers and prospects are truly giving them yeses on these questions. And I see it over and over again where they've convinced themselves that their customers would give them a yes on these questions, when in fact, their customers are not giving them yeses.
All right. On this concept of social media activism or social media advocacy, I see a lot of companies now experimenting with some of these things. And notably, I saw in one of Guy Kawasaki's very recent blog posts, some surprisingly big names are apparently really throwing up bricks and not doing well at all. So what are the dangers of getting it wrong?
Today's buyer is paying far more attention to what other customers are saying about a brand than they are to what the brand is saying about itself. A lot of this social media is bringing that kind of comments to the forefront. What my research is showing me, it's all about execution. It's all about getting it right in the eyes of the customer.
Of course.
We all know it's an imperfect world here. You've got to learn from what the buyer is saying about the brand and let that be a huge opportunity to make changes. Also, communicate what you're doing to correct those kinds of issues. The truth of the matter is, transparency is everything today. It's not about hiding what a buyer or prospect is saying about your brand. It is learning from it and communicating how you're changing things.
So a company really needs to get out of the spin control business and to get more into having the confidence to air their dirty laundry as long as they're taking proactive steps to fix it.
That's right. And in fact, research that I have seen supports the fact that when you've got an occasional customer review that is not positive, in some ways that can add to the truthfulness of what's on your site.
Jill, can you provide maybe just one tip here to a company that's seeking to protect its customer relationships right now? What ways can they buffer and protect customers from competitors?
The four of the five worth it test questions that I gave you are really, in my mind, the holy grail for how you build a moat against your clients leaving. I tell my clients, don't let the fact that these are five simple questions make you think you can pass through this quickly and get it all right as it applies to your brand. These questions are tough to truly get yeses on. You have to work every day to earn yeses on those five questions. Those five questions are truly the litmus test on whether you can hold on to your customers. And I have to tell you, I see so many brands and so many corporations that are not paying attention to what their value proposition is for the brand versus the next best buying alternative. You got to put your brand against the next best buying alternative. You got to put them up against each other on a regular basis and work to get the yes on the part of the customer.
We've been speaking to Jill Griffin, author of the book Taming the Search and Switch Customer, Earning Customer Loyalty in a Compulsion to Compare World. Jill, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
As always, we'd love to get your feedback. So please drop us an email at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.